Where are you, Rickard? Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yep, we're here to discuss all the news that didn't happen this week in Apple. It's been a bit of a grim week, but there you go. Unless you're the local 911 responders to Apple's repair center, because they've been calling you off the hook all week. Bad luck, Apple. Well done for making the headlines, though, and giving us a story. Joining me to take the mickey out of Apple and understand precisely what it is that they think they're doing, I've got great blokes, absolutely great blokes. Starting us off, top left, Chuck Joyner, the only man that can dress for a podcast.
Good to see you, Ewan. Thanks for having me.
Lunch hour, is it, mate?
Close enough.
Yeah, good enough. Thank you for coming along. How have you been? Because we haven't seen you for a few weeks.
I've been great. Busy, as always, but, playing with my HomePod.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I love it.
Yeah. See, I would have had you as a bit more objective, because you go to NAM and that kind of stuff, don't you, or NAB, and so you're a bit more objective than the fanboys like Adam.
Well, maybe so, but you can ask me why later in the show why I love it, and I'll explain.
No, tell me now. Go on. Why do you love it now?
Well, why I love it now is simple. You can argue over the sound profile. You can argue over whether it's too bassy or not bassy enough. But at the end of the day, what makes it for me is the lack of friction. I can walk into my house after a long day and tell it to play something, and it plays it. I don't have to go to iTunes. I don't have to pull out my phone. I don't have to do anything other than say it. And what it has happened is that I've listened to more music in the past 3 weeks than I've probably listened to in the past 3 months.
Yeah.
Because before, I had to sit down and actually think about what I wanted to listen to and think about the fact that I wanted to listen to music. And it's on a whim, I can say, play this, and it does. So for me, and as far as the speaker itself goes, if I sit down and do critical listening, I might not make it as my first choice, but it's certainly more than good enough for, easy, casual listening. And that's all I do anymore.
So there's no Hey Siri command then?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not doing it because I don't want to trigger it or anybody else's devices.
Okay, got you.
So, hey, S person, play this, and it does it.
So Chuck comes dressed appropriately, and he's a consummate professional, whereas we just say, hey, Siri, Alexa, okay, Google, whatever we fancy. There we go.
And everybody just triggered.
Thanks, Alexa. She's gone again. I know I had some guys came in the other night and they asked me what Alexa did and I told them, so they ordered some condoms for me. Kind of nice of them. Wife hadn't picked that one up though. Next to him, absolutely brilliant bloke and not a fanboy, I want to clarify. Adam. What's been happening, dude? Bit of an emergency.
Hey, I dressed up. I stuck a hat on my head.
That's right. You wear a hat occasionally.
Yeah, when I don't have time to hop in the shower before the show.
Well, I remember we made the caricatures and we had Jeff's with a cap on. And he went, I don't wear a cap. I never wear a cap. Why have I got a cap on? I said, because you wear a cap. He says, no, I've never worn a cap. So I sent him a picture of him wearing a cap on the show. You're like, okay, that's like the one time.
Yep.
What's been happening in your world?
Not much. Just dealing with spammers.
Is California hackers still desperate for some rain, or are you all sorted yet?
We got a little rain. Yeah, it's dry. It's been cold for me, but that's pretty wimpy saying that it's cold for me, because it's been like in the 50s.
We woke up to -2 here this morning, centigrade. So, is that 30 degrees or something Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
And last, but by no means least, our man who has the plan to get the Christmas number one. It's guaranteed. And the album number one as well. Will Green.
Hello, chap.
How's it been going?
Fine. All good.
This week's Crucified Classic is...
Status Quo.
Do you know what? I have spent the entire week trembling with anticipation of watching someone trying to play 12 bar rock on a ukulele.
Well,
and now it's finally here.
It is, certainly is. Right, okay, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen. No, you're just strumming chords.
No, I'm not. I'm
okay.
Just figuring out if it's tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will Green with another Crucified classic from Status Quo. Where you going?
It's called Rocking All Over the World. Just go through the chords. Oh, good job, I checked. Ewan, you're going to sort of join in with us?
I'll try.
And here we are, and here we are. Here go. It's going well so far.
You're cutting out, mate.
Huh?
You're cutting out. Or did you... Oh, you stopped playing. All right, got you.
Yeah. Just all of them. And we're heading the road. Here we go. Rocking all over the world. Hey, I got it now. And giddy up and giddy up and get away. We're going crazy and we're getting away. Here we go. Rocking all over the world. It's terrible, isn't it? Really?
And I like it, I like it,
not
I
bad.
Like it. I like it, 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 I like
it. Here we go. Oh. Rocking all over the world. Congratulations. Well done, William Green. Yet another superb Crucified classic from the maestro.
Well, I've got another verse if you want it.
No, thanks.
How dare you!
We have had this conversation with Chuck just before we started. Adam, do you know who Status Quo are?
Status Quo, no.
Right, you still don't then.
Hey Siri, who's Status Quo?
Well,
Siri doesn't know either.
Me,
here are some cinemas near you. So Americans, you need to YouTube Status Quo. Rocking all over the world. They kicked off Live Aid here in the UK with that very song because we got Live Aid in the UK and then, of course, Phil Collins played at Live Aid and then he went on the Concord to play at the American Live Aid as well as so. You weren't watching at that point. You were probably still in bed.
So this is a musical group that does a song.
Yeah, they played four chords for 25 years and earned a fortune in the UK doing it, playing the same song.
Will Siri play it?
Oh yeah. If you well, your HomePod will play Status Quo. I'm absolutely positive it. They'll definitely be on Apple Music.
Hey Siri, play Status Quo. It's playing the High School Musical version. Awesome. There you go.
Well, I didn't think that was too bad.
No, it's okay, mate. It was all right. It's you are specializing in Crucified classics. So,
do you take requests?
Well, yes, actually, we only play what people do request. So,
okay, for the next time, Uriah Heep.
Uriah Heep. I don't know any Uriah Heep. God.
Who is that?
Uriah Heep? You guys don't know Uriah Heep? If you know Status Quo,
I know Uriah Heep. Yeah, I know who they are.
Hey, Siri, stop.
But I'm not exactly well up on the classics.
Oh, okay.
So just for those people that are listening, this is what it should sound like.
Nope.
It's close, Willie. It's close, Greeny.
Oh, keep it going. Keep it going. I'll play along with it.
It's close enough, Greeny.
It was close, yeah. He did pretty good.
There we go. If you'd like to hear Greeny Crucify a classic, then all you have to do is send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And you can have the second choice next week because Greeny's going to go and find a Uriah Heep song to murder first. Send us your requests in to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and title it Crucified Classics. There we go. And he's going to do... We're going to keep this going until Christmas, I think. And at Christmas...
By the end of it, I should be good.
No, okay. Seriously, Greedy, we seriously need to record Can You Stop the Cavalry on You on the Uke, and I reckon that is Christmas number one. No question.
Yeah, I have been sort of looking into it, and I need to buy a kazoo.
And then drum on your back that you operate with your right leg. Yes.
But I was quite pleased in my, I think, so I started with a sort of Englishman in New York, which was pretty terrible. And every week I've got better, I think.
Last week was good. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I mean, you only learned 3 weeks ago for 2 hours. Paul Dixon's turned up and said, did I miss another performance by Will? No, not really. Right then, boys. The Apple news, what's going on, what's been happening? Oh, that's not working. Why is that not working? Bugger. Tim Cook says...
Whoa, you disappeared.
Yeah, no, you're supposed to see my Mac. There we go. It's my MacBook. It works this time. Tim Cook says, Apple is always focused on products and people over Wall Street's expectations. I hate that picture. I don't know why he's had that picture taken, because that is the worst picture you could possibly take of a bloke. He looks more like Mrs. Doubtfire than ever, for a start.
Well, that's Fast Company made that image. So.
Yeah, no, and it just looks like he's thought in his head, squirrel.
I think he's ready for retirement is what's going on.
Yeah, no, he is.
See, he's inspecting that ad. Ready for retirement?
Apple goes through leaders too quickly, doesn't he? It's only been 5 minutes since Steve Jobs.
No, I'm joking, because he looks like he's looking at the guy in the ready for retirement ad in that. Look at your screenshot.
Oh, right. Okay, yes. He's looking at the, I got you now, yes. He's sitting thinking, I'd rather be surfing, dude. Watching a sunset, shivering on a beach. That's what I need to do. So, well done, Tim. Good spot. Well spotted, mate. I missed
that. Yeah, I mean, did anybody not get that? Like, did he even need to say that?
Do you believe it? So I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I need to get a lower third comes up here that says, I'm playing devil's advocate, just for everyone's benefit. But, I mean, you look at some of genuinely speaking, there is a few things that they've done in the past couple of years where I think they've priced, not gouged, but they've hefted the price a little more than they should have done, or they've aimed at a celebrity-esque market.
Can you go back to that quote? Because I want to see what it says. What was the exact quote?
The exact wording. Tim Cook is always focused on products and people, but over Wall Street expectations. But there's none of that's in quotes.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know the actual quote.
I've got the quote. Hang on. Stock price is a result, not an achievement by itself. For me, it's about products and people. Did we make the best product, and did we enrich people's lives? If you're doing both of these things, and obviously these things are incredibly connected because one leads to another, then you have a good year.
Okay, so that's exactly right. So when it comes to their products, what they're going to put into a product and what they're going to do with a product to try and make a product, I believe that's absolutely true. I think that they care more about that it's a good product and that their customers will like it when they're making decisions about what they're going to do with a product. Pricing is totally separate from that. So there's many areas where the decisions that are made for their investors and for Wall Street. But I firmly believe that at least Tim Cook believes, and I believe they act in this way, that they try to build the best product they think they can build, and they try to build a product that they think consumers are going to like. They don't always necessarily succeed in that, but I do believe that that's their ultimate goal. I think that's what drives them when it comes to making products and designing products. Mm. But there's also a business side of it that they have to balance with that. And there are a lot of decisions, especially, I mean, the decision to raise the price on the iPhone X was purely, I'm sure, predicated by, you know, trying to do more for investors and for the stock price.
Go on, Chuck.
I don't know that I buy that specifically. I think that when you look at it Apple always takes the long term. Okay, so when you look at it, if you put the price at the lowest possible point, you've got nowhere to go to move it down for whatever reason, whether it's this year's model turns into last year's model or whatever. So, you know, yes, obviously they need to make money for their shareholders. But right. I almost feel like pricing is part of the Apple ecosystem, that, you know, they don't want to price it at the rock bottom because they don't want to be chasing everybody down to that level. So, was the iPhone X a little high? Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, you know, now depending on what they do with the iPhone X next time, maybe they can slide the price down, keep it in the mix. And I don't know what they would eliminate, whether they would eliminate the iPhone 8 form factor or not. But I think we all have a tendency to just look at things exactly as they are now, instead of thinking about what's it going to be in 5, 6 months, a year. What do they have to do to keep the product line going?
Okay.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but there's no indication that they're actually going to do that. I mean, all indications right now in terms of the iPhone pricing for this year is that we're going to get a couple new models on the high end at the above $1,000 price, and they're going to keep the 8 form factor, do an update with one model, and that'll be your lower priced under $1,000 model. So I do think that a big thought process that went into pricing the iPhone X was overall lifting the price point up so that they could sell things at a higher price point, higher margin, and bring that level up. I mean, it was about, I think, getting some more profit. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I mean, Apple is marketing these things as a premium thing, but they did price up the premium. And I think, you know, a factor that went into that decision was, well, will this help, you know, our bottom line, and will this help the stock price, and will it help the health of the company? And all those things were a yes. And so I think it was easier for Apple to make that decision. That's all I'm saying.
And they were right, because look what happened with iPhone X sales.
Right. Yeah, their profits are up. So, and they had declining profits on iPhone. You know, they were moving in a downward direction, so they had to do an adjustment. But I don't believe that, you know, raising the price point was a decision that was made purely for the benefit of customers. Right? Like, you can't say that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad Doc's not here, because he'd be chiming in at the moment saying, it's the same price as ever. But that's not a very good Doc impression, is it? I think that what they've done is they've looked at what Angela Arendt did at Burberry and making it an exclusive brand, and, you know, credit to the girl. She's done a fantastic job there. They've moved her over and asked her to do the same thing. Credit to her again, because that's what she's doing. She's telling them this is the way you create an exclusive brand. But I think the problem that they've got is that there's too many people looking at the brand and going, it's consumer electronics. It's not exclusive. This isn't Virtu. This is a phone and a computer and a laptop, and yet we already know it's quite highly priced already anyway, because we've been paying more for it for the last few years. And we've been paying it for the last few years. You haven't worked out the fact that we don't want to pay loads more, you know. And I think that's where they've got. She's doing the job that she's been asked to do, but I think they're pushing down a pathway that ultimately will see them actually with some negativity against them for it.
There is a sort of a bubble around Apple. It is like Burberry or like any other premium brand that people will pay over the odds for, won't they? I mean, I would be ashamed to have a Nokia or some other Android Samsung/ device. I would be ashamed to walk around with that. And is that awful? Is that snobbish? I don't know.
I wouldn't like to walk around with another phone. I like the ecosystem I'm in, and I don't want to lose that. But I don't want the company that gives me that to want to extort the price out of me, because they know I don't want to give it up.
Yeah, but you will. You'll always follow it.
If you look at, let's take Canon lenses as an example then. You know, I buy a Canon body camera. They know full well that I'm stuck with Canon lenses or Canon fit lenses, which they get a license fee from Sigma, Tamron, whoever else wants to make it. But I don't feel that they they're expensive camera lenses, but they're not gouging anywhere. And at the moment, I think Sony are. You know, you look at Sony bodies are vastly more expensive for what they are against other brands. They don't sell as many, so that's a reason, I suppose. But also the lenses are incredibly high quality and beautifully made, but they're 2.5 times more than other lenses that are comparable in other lines. So there is they're holding me in via that. But that doesn't seem to happen as much because there's other brands that can come in and say, well, we can make a lens cheaper than that. But Apple have got a walled garden that is only Apple's that no one else can get in whatsoever. No one can run iOS apart from them. If another phone could run iOS, holy crap, that would really set the cat amongst them. But that's never going to happen. And I think they are extorting that advantage to a certain amount.
Absolutely.
And not in a good way. They're not just maintaining high prices. They push the prices further. So.
But what's the downside? Like, what is the not in a good way? Are they losing customers? Maybe. Are they
bad use of that.
Losing market share? That doesn't seem to be happening. They actually seem to be gaining market share, which is interesting. So if they're losing customers over price, they're gaining other customers somewhere else. So I don't know. I can see the cautionary look that you're looking at, Ewan, and I understand that, but the reality is none of the numbers and none of the things that we're seeing are backing up that has been a problem for them.
But I will say that's never going to be an instant though, is it? You're not going that's never going to be an instant. You're not going to drop off a cliff with numbers.
Right.
I think what you see is a slowly inward turning response from people about, well, hang on, do I really want this? Hang on, you know, that's a bit too much.
Right.
Which is what a lot of
the thing is like another thing is I think most customers like me, if I wasn't doing like I buy all my stuff anyway, right? I don't get stuff from Apple, which is a funny thing that sometimes people think that we get given this stuff. So I have to buy everything that I use and review and talk about on my show. I can honestly say with the price changes recently, especially with iPhones and iPads and things like that, I would not own nearly the number of products that I own, Apple products. I'd be buying them less frequently now because of the rising prices. But I'm not leaving the ecosystem. And I think that's what Apple is discovering is like, yes, the people aren't going to leave, but I think what they are finding is people are upgrading less frequently. And I think there's you know, a positive and a negative to that. The positive being like the products are good enough that I don't think you need to upgrade every version that comes out. I think you can go longer, but then that creates a profit problem for Apple. And so in some ways, I think the price increases are also to try and account for that. You know, the fact that people are upgrading less frequently and they're not buying iPads every year. They're buying iPads every 2 or 3 years. It's more like computers, more like, you know, the Macs were. And then you've got the iPhone and they're trying to find ways to get people to upgrade. But, you know, people just aren't. Their phones work really well. They last for a long time. They're good quality. And so, you know, there's a balance there going too. So, you know, I get all this. I guess my question to you is, you know, what is the long-term negative that you seem concerned about, because I'm just not seeing a cause for concern. So if Apple does go this premium Burberry route and locks out a bunch of people, I mean, but they're still making profit and they're still a healthy company. Who's that? Is that just bad for the consumers?
So I'm invested in Apple as much as everyone else is on this panel, heavily. And I'm not an Apple hater, despite the fact I get emails every week telling me I am because of what I say in this podcast. But my MacBook Pro is 2015 and it runs just fine and it works everything and I'm happy. But if there was a failure that caused me to have to spend an excessive amount on it, would I replace it with a brand new one? No, not at the moment, because I don't use a laptop as much as, although I do enjoy having the convenience of it to show people things, but I could get around that. But if you'd have said the same thing to me 3 years ago, regardless of how I use it, I just would have bought one. It would have been just, you know, okay, it's broken, I'm buying a new one, that's the end of it. Now, I'm sitting going, do you know what? I actually don't need it. And my Apple, my Apple Watch, I've got my beautiful tag. I've got a brand new watch battery in that. And I've been wearing that the last few weeks. And I haven't missed my Apple Watch at all. And I don't think I ever will. And I'm not sure I'll even put it ever on again ever. Ellis is badgering me like Billy-o that he wants it for school. There's certain things around it where the bubble is popping. I think Will's on the right track there with that bubble comment, because there are people going, do you know what? I'm sorry that the wall of the bubble is a little bit too thin. Now, here's my thought. Do Apple, let's just go back to Tim's quote, because I think that's the telling part. Stock price is a result, not an achievement by itself. For me, it's about products and people. Do we make the best products? Is there anyone here that doubts that Apple is not trying to make the best product? Because I were, even me playing devil's advocate, I wouldn't say that. I think they do deliberately try and make the best product.
I think they try. I don't think they always succeed, but I think they are, honestly. They put the product first when they're looking at what they want to make.
Yeah, and did we enrich people's lives? I think that's always something that Jobs came out with that I'm not sure that they want to make a product that will sell, and it won't sell if it doesn't enrich people's lives. So that's a kind of a de facto statement a little bit with that. I think they actually design and build the products with that in mind and not with the market in mind. But then I think someone comes along and puts a price tag on them who isn't thinking about building the best products for people. They're thinking about satisfying the stock price. I think he's talking about he's talking about Johnny Ive's department there, rather than talking about Apple as a corporation necessarily as a whole. And I find it suspicious that Ive has disappeared at the keynotes. He's not part of his prevalence in the design process. I mean, maybe he's backed away an awful lot. I don't know.
He was working on a building for like
So that's
3 years.
Well, and to be fair, at the keynotes, he never really went on stage, did he? He was just sort of sitting in the audience.
No, he always did his white room video, didn't he? But there's the interesting part. You say, well, he was working on a building for 3 years. Okay, but why wasn't he working on the products? Because that's what he's famous for. That's what he's good at. He's not a frigging architect. And that bothers me that if that's the excuse, is, well, he was working on a building. Well, I'm sorry, get a frigging architect to work on a building. Get the bloke who's awesome at making products to work on the sodding products that make your business work. Because that's been the real issue. There's a lot of crap doesn't work at the moment.
Well,
am I right in that rant or not?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. I think software-wise, Apple are still onto it. They're acing what they do. And harder as well, but there are some glitches, I think. Mm-hmm. So we get iTunes, which is sort of it's sort of fairly terrible. And we have a sort of disconnect between the various apps. So I do think slightly from a software point of view that they've lost focus a little bit, but they're doing a good job, really.
Overall, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, because we've seen some software glitches, but on the other hand, they've got so many things out there, so many products, and I know there are people out there that say they have all the money, they have all the talent. I don't care how much money and how much talent you have. When you're still trying to manage that many products, you inevitably are going to have more mistakes or more issues. As if you have one product, you can really watch that product and fix the issues right away. If you have 50 products, then that's 50 product lines you have to watch and 50 potentials for issues, and when they come up, 50 things that you have to fix. And so, yeah, there definitely are things that I wish Apple would pay more attention to, because they matter to me. But across the board, it doesn't feel like it's that, it's that bad. And it's at least as bad as some people try to make it out to be.
No, I know it's bad.
It's interesting what you just said, Ewan, because it just really got me thinking about, because you said there's a lot of things not working. And I thought, okay, well, let me think about the products that I've purchased recently and really what's not working at a level where, it's really bad. And the only one that I can think of that is a product problem is the new MacBook Pro, the keys keep breaking. And I think I've been told by some people recently that the newer versions, that they did some sort of design tweak and newer versions of those don't have that problem. But all my other products, for the most part, work exactly as advertised. And I can't think of things that are really truly broken and not working. Like, really, really bad to the point where I want to throw things out the window.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, there's a lot. I'm talking about stuff that's just annoying. Siri is still a bag of shit. I mean, it's an awful, awful excuse for a voice recognition system. I sit in the car with it when there's nothing happening. I'm sat at a traffic light, and I say something, and it gets it wrong.
All right, but that's one thing in a raft of, thousands of, or not thousands, but, dozens of products and things that Apple puts out that all, work as advertised.
Yeah, no, okay, so you don't talk to anyone who deals with NLP, and they'll tell you that the negative registers far higher in memory than the positive does. So, I'm going to sit there and go, all the things that just happened this last couple of weeks, where it doesn't work brilliantly. And Mail App, I don't like Mail App very much, but I'm not going into another mail application since Google bought Spark and killed it, or Sparrow, whatever it was, and killed it. And it's just like, oh, Christ. And now it's insecure and I can't get a mail on it at all. So I have to go and use Mail App because I know that's at least going to be there in a year's time. But awful application. They still have not resolved the integration between Calendar, Contacts, and Mail. And I've been banging on about that for 5 years now, and they still haven't sorted it properly. There's nothing that's even close to what Outlook was 20 years ago. From what I said, no, 20 years is probably a bit of an exaggeration on my part, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But I mean, again, a lot of these are your personal wants and needs, and that's not saying that those should be ignored or they're not important. But
no, that's lucky then, because I'm the one that spends my pounds.
You're the ones that spend your pounds, but, the rest of us spend our pounds or dollars, and we're quite happy with what it's at the level of function we have. I'm not saying that they should not address some of these issues, and improve the feature sets, but your comment about, negative registering higher than positive is always, I think, something you have to remember. Yeah. Because that's all we see, it seems like, so much in the news, is all the negative and never the positive. And yet, when the earnings reports come out, when the market share reports come out, we see these positive things. So I have to wonder, are we part of the problem here? Are we just expecting too much because we are so focused on our tech, and that's a large part of our lives, and the average person out there picks these things up, and they work well enough for them to be satisfied with them. Because if they weren't satisfied with them, they wouldn't buy, they would return them, or they certainly wouldn't rebuy again.
No, agreed. Absolutely. I just think that, we've had a lot of conversations on this show going over the last year to 2 years about it's not a pro app, it's not a pro computer. They've forgotten the pro market. There's a lot of things where people have gnashed their teeth at Apple for the actions that they've taken. And even now, I'm sitting here and I can't actually necessarily think of something to say that I can put a hand on heart and say, I said that. Because I've kind of, I'm wrapped up in the ecosphere and I've kind of let it go in my own head. But we've had those comments. There's people been upset, rather badly upset by some of the things that they've done. I was very upset at the pricing of the 10 when it first came out. And I know it's come down, and I know Doc would tell me at the top end it's exactly the same or only fractionally more.
But, well, it's not, though. I mean, that's not accurate, and it hasn't come down. It's the same price that it was set at when they announced it.
I thought it'd come down relative, because certainly we were paying an awful lot more. We were paying like £1,300 for the top end.
Oh, do you guys get Well, you guys might get exchange adjustments, because that doesn't happen here. So that may be where some of the confusion comes into play.
So what Doc was showing was the 64 gig, and I'm like, I don't want a 64 gig. I want a 256, and a 256 was £1,399, and I'm not paying £1,399 for a sodding phone. Not in a million years. It is crazy money. And like you say, even you would have admitted that you would not be spending the amount of money that you have. If you've got customers
I wouldn't have bought a 10. I was perfectly happy with my 7.
No, but you said a minute ago that I would not own as much Apple equipment as I do if I didn't do my podcast and I didn't need to have to pay for that to keep the reviews
correct.
Going
and
that kind of stuff.
I mean, I have to be able to review it.
So there
just purely my own dollars to spend for spending dollars, I would be making tougher decisions, yes.
But that's exactly my point, because I would have said to you 2 years ago, Anything breaks that I've got that's Apple, it's instantly replaced. Anything that Apple brought out, my card was sharpened and I was buying it. Now, I don't feel that way. I just don't feel that way anymore. And that is an issue because I'm not the only person to perceive that, because you're saying you perceive that as well as. And so are other people that I talk to. You go out on the tube, the number of iPhone 10s that you see on the tube, negligible compared to iPhone 7.
Sure.
Or 8, depending, because they look the same, but...
And again, I'll argue that part of the price increase is probably to better manage that in the long term, because Apple recognizes people aren't upgrading as frequently for whatever reasons, be it price, be it just a good, you know, the product is lasting, be it, you know, they just don't want to spend the money.
Yeah. I don't think it's a money issue. I'm not worried about the money. It's the fact that I just don't see the value for the money. The bang for the buck isn't there for me anymore that it was. When I can make do with what I've currently got, and it exceeds what I currently need. Jordan says he loves Alexa. He loves Apple nonetheless, but Siri does remind him. All right, no, it's okay, girl. But he said, I hate Siri. Siri reminds me of mobile me, but I still love Apple. Bob Beach says that Siri's not that bad.
I'm perfectly fine. I use Siri all the time. I use it exclusively and it works great for me. I send texts, I get directions, I ask for information, I do calculations, I get the news, I get the weather, I get music now with the HomePod. And the music on the HomePod stuff is brilliant. It's absolutely amazing. They could do a better job of sort of recognizing tracks still. They have a, and I talked about this on my podcast, the biggest problem with Apple Music right now is they have a metadata problem.
Right.
So, you know, like they have like, it's like almost like they have too much metadata. There was a great piece that someone wrote up, and I wish I had the article in front of me now, basically explaining that, you know, when you look for an album from an artist, they basically have every album and every version that that artist is on, not just their core albums. And so it really starts to break down when you're trying to use voice to get things. Like the earlier example, when I asked for that track that you were mentioning, I got the High School Musical version, not the original version. Like, why is that? Why isn't it defaulting to
the
original
version? Because the High School Musical version was way better.
What?
Because the High School Musical version was way better.
Probably. But, you know, you get the point is, like, obviously, if someone's asking, if I'm asking for a track from an artist, I probably want the original studio track and not some weird remix or some, you know.
I've got to say, the navigation in music frustrates me a lot. But the service I love, and the fact that I can share it with my family, I love. My iCloud storage, I've got 2 terabytes of iCloud storage. I share that with the whole family. I love that. I think that's the best thing that they've done in
ages. I love all those things, too. Yeah, their services are, and again, those services are doing very well, you know, from a monetary standpoint. So they've come a long way.
Other things that actually work. When you know, when you fire up your Mac, it works. When you fire up your phone, it works. When you fire up your iPad, it works. When you fire up your HomePod, it works. So we're back to that whole question of, you know, are we focusing too much on the negative? I mean, I don't want to transfer. I have the Amazon devices in my home. I use Siri every chance I get, and occasionally there's something that maybe she can't answer that the other one can, and that's fine. You know, that most of the time I really don't necessarily need to know whatever it is that Siri doesn't know or can't control. So I want to make sure we aren't focusing too much on the negative and talking it down. And I did want to bring up a point on the iPhone 10. When the iPhone 10 came out, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was almost categorized as an experiment, as, you know, a beta test kind of thing. And now all of a sudden it's morphed and it's now seen as the top end of the iPhone line. And that's the one you really want, as opposed to an experimental thing.
Expensive beta, dude. That's an expensive beta.
Oh, absolutely. But look at all the people that are willing to spend the money on it and be experimented on.
We don't know. My perception is it's less than, but there we go.
Hold on. Before we move on, we're talking about HomePod and stuff like that. I've sort of recently written an article about it. And I find it quite interesting, the direction in which Apple have gone with AI. So we've got our Siri, which we talked about. which is great. But if you look also at the other stuff that they're doing, HomeKit and Cheery Create, Core.
That's not AI, though. That's not AI.
Go on, sir.
It's not AI. HomeKit's which? Not AI.
Well, it's machine learning. And if you look into it, machine learning are the core components. So you have a component that is machine learning, and then you have another component that is machine learning. So one may be voice, one may be text recognition.
How's HomeKit learning? It does what you tell it.
No, well, it doesn't learn anything, so does it? Let's pull all these components together. So we've got all our sort of core ML machine learning components together, and combined they make AI, and Siri is based on this sort of AI framework, and so is HomePod to some extent.
Oh dear.
So HomePod for me is the it's an IoT device, an Internet of Things device, and they all do connect. So iPhone is on Siri, and iPad and Mac, Apple Watch, and everything else. And I did put quite a bit of research into it, and I find it very interesting that it is all connecting. So yeah, Cheery Create sort of brings it all together. Are you chaps familiar with that, Cheery Create, or not?
Who?
With which?
Cheery.
Yeah, what?
Cheery Create, which is T-U-R-I, Create.
Cheery Create? No, is that a cheering-based thing?
Well, it's an AI device framework to allow Siri and CoreML and everything else sort of talk together.
Mark in the chat room says, always have a chip on my shoulder about Apple TV not being able to use two Siri remotes for gaming. That'd be a good idea. I like that. And Deeppan says, machine learning by Apple, Microsoft and Google is being used more as a marketing term than the fact that it's actually machine learning, which is what I think. So, good point. Wireless charging. Apparently next month there will be a wireless charger from Apple. Bit late. Should have come out with the phones, really.
Probably.
Yeah.
They'll still sell a bunch.
They'll still sell them, but yeah. And I'm sure it'd be overpriced. But they're also talking about an iPad refresh in March as well as. Is this, because they've had a, they have, I don't think they're going to have one, but they have had keynotes in March before with product launches. Are we going to get one, do you think?
We've been hearing this rumor that they're going to do a Face ID version without the bezels and the losing the home button. I think a refresh is, we're due for a refresh, so it wouldn't surprise me if it happens, and it wouldn't surprise me if it doesn't happen. I'd give it a 50-50 at this point.
They're not going to hire a haul, though, are they?
They'll bring one out.
They're not going to hire a haul and do it, are they?
Well, again, they have their own haul now. So,
well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. They're not going to have a big media event and get people to come and just for an iPad refresh and a wireless charger.
I think if they put out a call, they could get 3,000. You know, does Steve Jobs the air seats? How many people?
Yeah, I don't remember what they could do and what they're going to do is what I'm saying.
I think if they come out with a new iPad, I think they invite a bunch of journalists, you know, a couple weeks ahead of time to come out to a thing at the Steve Jobs Theater, and they put out a new iPad.
Yeah. I think it's going to depend on what the feature set is. If the feature set justifies that kind of event, sure. I'm not, just since you ask it, I have mixed feelings about whether the facial recognition would be sufficient, but I can certainly see that probably would be. But what else is it? Better camera, more memory. That's not going to justify anything other than a press release.
Well, Paul,
the only reason I would say is because it would be a radical redesign and I think a new form factor, a new size.
Yeah, so, I don't think they're going to do that either. Paul Dixon says if they added Face ID, it might be worth it.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely adding that. I mean, the next everything moving forward is going to have Face ID. So if they refresh a product that currently has Touch ID, it's moving to Face ID. I don't see them not doing that.
Thank you for that segue as well, Paul Dixon. When is WWDC? Well, allegedly, it's the 4th to the 8th of June, and it's going to be in San Jose again. So they're not running it at the Apple campus. They've not put anything aside in terms of developer tutorial space at the new Apple HQ.
Yep.
No comment. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not a lot to talk about. Worldwide Developer Conference is the first or second week in June, and it's going to be the first or second week in June.
But they're having it.
They've had it last year in San Jose, and they're going to have it this year in San Jose. I mean,
no, but what I'm saying is they've not put any facility at the new HQ to run WWDC, have they?
No. You mean at the new campus? They don't want people on that campus. It's a totally closed campus other than the visitor center.
Cool.
Which isn't even on the campus, right? It's a completely separate outbuilding.
Yeah. So there we go. 4th to the 8th of June, Paul. Sharpen your credit card, mate. You can go. 4th, you put June question mark, says Jeep. Yes, 4th to the 8th of June. That's the rumor. Are we getting a new preview of the new Mac Pro at WDC, says Paul. Well, it's the right platform, isn't it, I suppose?
If they did it anywhere, that's where they would do it, yeah. And we're way overdue for seeing or hearing more about it. At the very least, they would talk about it, I would imagine.
Is there going to be a new Mac Mini, says Jordan. Nice one, mate. Well done.
There'll be a refresh at some point, but
pull the other one.
Just check the website.
Yeah, it'll be an Apple an Apple TV puck size, the next one, and I'll be cussing then. This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. We couldn't do it without them. They just renewed the server for another year. Thank you so much to them. And please support them. Go to UK2 via britishtechnetwork.com/UK2. And we get the credit for having sent you as a customer. We don't get any credit as in money. We just get the kudos. And if you'd like to buy any services from them, if you use britishtechnetwork.com/sponsorship or sponsors, then you get the offer codes, which actually help you to reduce your basket by quite some margin. The British Tech Domains code gets you 20% off all domain names and stuff, which is brilliant. And it also works on renewals as well as, so you haven't got to buy new ones just to get that code. I haven't forgot about the Spider 5 competition, by the way. I'm talking to the promoters who did it with us, and the lady that deals with it is on holiday until the 27th of March. So I'm waiting for an email back from her. Those people who won will be getting their Spider 5, even if I have to pay for it out of my own pocket, I promise you. I'm waiting for her to come back with the units and decide whether we need to send the units to you or whether they're going to send them direct or how it works. So, but I haven't forgotten. So please don't send me emails if you're one of the winners. I am on it. I might ask you to send me emails from one of those because I can't find out who you are later on, but that's a different thing. And Uniku, I'm going down there on the 26th of March to finish off some video work for them. And they're going to measure my face and see if my buckled nose can defeat their software yet again. And whether I'll be able to get any unique glasses, we'll find out. Watch this space. But as always, you can support Hoya as well. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Monsieur Joyner.
Okay, I would like to show you this. It's only half of what I'm picking. But this is the receiver end of, I want to make sure here I get it right, the Audio-Technica System 10. It's a camera mount wireless microphone system. It's not inexpensive at $399.
That's cheap for a wireless system.
What?
That's pretty cheap for a wireless system. I paid $6.99 for my Sennheiser.
Okay, that's good to know. That makes me feel a little better.
And that's pounds.
But the reason I'm recommending this, every year I've gone to CES, and when I've done interviews on the show floor, I've used a cabled mic because I was really paranoid about anything wireless. Steve Sheridan recommended this to me, said he'd been using it. So I took it to CES this year, and in spite of all the signals and, you know, all the electronics around me, it did not give me a moment's trouble.
No.
I don't have the handheld mic here, but it looks like any other handheld mic as a transmitter. And I used this along with an iPad to record the interviews, and it was flawless. So I got to believe that if you take this anywhere other than CES, it's going to perform perfectly. Because if it can handle that environment, it can handle probably just about anything.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I've got the Sennheiser system, and it is brilliantly good. They are awesome. But I paid £700 £9. So if that's $399 and it works brilliant, what's the range on it like? Is it?
You know, you and I didn't test it. It's not going to go across a gymnasium or anything, but it's not one of those kind of devices. I 50 feet maybe.
That's okay. I
didn't have any trouble at all using it. Most of the time I was a bit closer, but I've used it subsequently in some projects and got decent range out of it. And I think as long as you don't have anything competing, you're not going to have any issues.
My Sennheiser does 100 meters, so that's where the extra comes. But, 90% of the time I'm using it at 20 feet. So
yeah.
I probably don't get the best out of it.
Yeah, exactly. But this is one I can absolutely highly recommend. And if you go and listen to what I recorded, the off-axis rejection of the mic is pretty good. You can tell that it on a trade show, but you also really get to hear the person speaking into the mic. So it seemed a little pricey compared to what I'd been using, but compared to some of the other options, it's very affordable. And I think this will be with me for a long time.
Excellent pick, mate. Stick us a link in the chat room if you could. That'd
be fantastic. I will do that. Thank you.
If you want to know any of the stuff that we talk about on the shows, then all you got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you can input there all the stuff that you see in the chat room, all the conversations that take place and the links to all the cool things and that kind of stuff. Just navigate to the relevant day. Today is the 23rd of February. Adam, what are you for us a cool thing?
I'm going to do a little bit of a repick because I don't remember if I picked this here or what, but it's something that came up again this week. We were having a conversation and everybody in the room that I talked to who's a Mac power user uses this utility. So a lot of people may have this already, but in case people don't know about it, it's Bartender, which is a app for helping you better manage all your menu bar items. So a big problem I have is that everything seems to have a menu bar icon and it gets really annoying. And without even looking, after a while, you'll have, dozens of icons up in your menu bar, whether you want them there or not. And they get in the way, and especially if you use a laptop like I am and you have a big screen at home and they all fit, and then you take your machine somewhere and suddenly they're running into the menus or running under the menus. It's just really annoying. So Bartender lets you manage all that. It lets you move those to different locations. You can hide certain ones and have hotkeys set up to reactivate them when you want to see them or don't see them. I use it a lot when I'm giving presentations to just clean up the menu bar. You can hit a hotkey and have all your menu bar icon on basically go away for a bit. So it's just a really handy utility, and I've had it for years, and I always forget about it, but I use it every day, and it's just really, really
useful. Are you going to tell us it's part of setup?
Is it part of setup?
Yeah. No.
Even better.
I said, are you going to tell us it's part of setup? Because that would be awesome.
Oh, I don't think it is.
Oh.
But I don't think it's very expensive. I don't remember the price. I can get it $15.
Yeah,
it's so worth it.
Do you guys get the issue? And I want to know if it solves the issue, because do you get the issue where, when you go to a really small screen sometimes, it limits the amount of menus that you can show on the bar, the pull down.
Correct.
But, oh, sure.
Yeah, but one of the problems I've got is that even when I'm on a slightly smaller screen, but I've still got a massive gray space between the left-hand stuff and the right-hand stuff, and it still drops icons, and I can't get it to stop.
Menu Bartender will deal with all of that. That was how I was giving a presentation at a user group, and I went to use a menu bar thing, and it was gone because I was on such a small screen, because the projector I had connected to even went lower resolution, and I was mirroring, and so I lost a bunch of icons, and I'm like, I didn't know how to get them back. And then somebody told me about Bartender, and I've used it ever since. And that was probably 5 years ago.
Yeah. Cool.
And by the way, it is available on SetApp. I just looked.
Oh! Awesome. Love that. SetApp's cool. Brilliant. Best thing I bought this year is SetApp. Love it. Love it. Love it. Monsieur Green.
It's worth every penny.
Hello.
What is your cool thing, sir?
Well, I'm afraid it's a sort of slight repeat from the the big show last night, but I think it's worth repeating, and it's called Die With Me. Die With Me. It sounds really senseless, doesn't it? But it's if you've got an iPhone and you're 5% or below when it comes to your battery on your iPhone, then it opens up this sort of portal, as it were, to a chat room that you cannot access if you don't have 5% or lower on your iPhone. It's it costs about £2, I think, something like that.
99 cents, yeah.
It's really fun. And in some ways, it's worth getting to your getting your battery on your iPhone to a really poor state just so you can just get that moment of pleasure, that moment of joining in this rather sort of exclusive club sort of other people are members of who have a battery.
Or you can just hang out with my daughter who just runs her phone at 5% battery constantly.
It was kind of cool last night though, because you were saying, Greeny, that if you plug into a charger and you actually get up to beyond 5%, it kicks you out the chat room, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
So you're not allowed in there at all. You can't go in and then stay in once you pass past the 5%. See ya. Go on.
Yeah, it's quite fun, isn't it? It's a nice idea, I think.
D-pads, but is that a Welsh dating application? Who were? My cool thing is arcade plane. If you put in arcade plane app, you'll find it. It's available on iTunes, as such as iTunes is for apps. But basically, it puts a little city with some stars on, with some obstacles on your table, and you fly around. Then all you do is hit a button to dive, and then you let go, and it climbs up again. And you've got to time your dive to pick up the stars, and it's friggin' annoying, but it's good fun. I love it to bits. It's great, great fun to play. So there you go. There is a free version, I think, and a paid version. But there's in-app purchases that get you new planes, that get you new courses and that kind of thing. But I've played it on the free version for quite a while, and it's fine. I like it. Right, where can we get a hold of you, boys? Here you go, Chuck.
Find me over at macvoices.com. That's where I am. New shows are coming out constantly. We also have a Mac Voices Facebook group where we have questions and answers, and you can find me on Twitter as at Chuck Joyner.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for coming along, as always.
Thank you.
Where are you, Adam?
As always, you can find me over at maccast.com, Maccast on your favorite podcast app, and Maccast on social media.
Excellent, pal. And last but by no means least, Monsieur Green, where can we find you?
British Mac is my place. So you can find me britishmac.com or Twitter is British Mac. Not Facebook anymore. Ewan, do you do sort of Facebook anymore?
Not if I can help it.
No, nor do I.
Good lad. Keep it that way.
But yeah, britishmac.com.
Good man. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week on Friday as normal, 4 p.m. on Fridays for the live show. And we should have a full panel then, because James Ficards will remember that there's a sodding show. He's gone out drinking at lunchtime and forgotten that there's a show. What are you like, Rickards? See you next week. Thanks for listening.